Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, bringing our friend Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira Winderman is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Ira, how you doing on this fine Tuesday evening, sir?
Still trying to figure out the NBA draft and trying to figure if at some point in the night Pat Riley is going to surprise us. And it would not surprise me if they wind up with at least something on Thursday, still with free agency, like you were mentioning, being the most important factor in this.
So how, if the Heat are able to find a way into the draft, could it be first round, maybe second round to try and grab a piece? How could you see that playing out this week?
You know, it's interesting, Alex, because on one hand, you can buy a second-round pick. They're always available. Yeah. Last year, the Clippers bought two of them. The Warriors have bought one in each of the last 2 years, so it happens. But I'm almost wondering, when Pat Riley basically has said, you know, that there's no untouchables here, if there might not be an actual trade where you don't have to buy a pick, but actually just trade players to get into the first round. The Heat have been scouting every agency workout. They've been at every group workout. They're looking at players. That might be an interesting way to try to shake things up a little bit, maybe get off some money because of that also, if someone else likes their pieces. So, yeah, I'm keeping a real eye out on that. I think the one thing, the message the Heat can't send out now is we're going to be passive. So I think be a certain amount of aggression, whether it comes Thursday in the draft, whether it comes at the July 1 start of free agency.
Now, for most of the beat writers out there, Ira, the teams have draft picks. They know what number their team is slated to pick. I know trades can always happen, so they kind of have an idea what to write about, targeting certain players, looking at certain ranges. So does that make your job harder, not knowing what might happen on draft night, or does it kind of make it easier because maybe you don't have to scout as many of these draft picks?
Well, I think you have to look at what their area of needs are. Like, I can't fathom them getting aggressive for a big man. There's some really good big men at the start of the draft. Mo Bamba, obviously DeAndre Ayton's going to go number one. Wendell Carter. I don't see the Heat in that range, nor when you have Whiteside and you have Olynyk and you have Adebayo. And honestly, even if you trade any one of the three, you still have enough. So I don't see them going big. I think dynamic wing, whether that dynamic wing is a guard, whether that dynamic wing is a forward, that's what they need, and I think that's the direction they'll look at. I think that's what will be available in the range they might be able to trade into. I think there's some player, whether it's, you know, a dynamic small forward, maybe even a point guard, not that it would be Colin Sexton, but someone like that. I like Holiday from UCLA. As just, yes, they don't have a backup point guard behind Goran Dragic anyway. I think the style he plays would work with the Heat. That probably would be a late teen 20s pick anyway. So I think that's where they could make a move. The crazy thing, Dono, is this. In some permutations because of contracts, they won't be able to complete the trade until July 6th. They'll have to wait for the new, you know this from football, the new cap year, the new money that you could spend and throw in trades. And I even asked the Heat, I said, look, if you trade for a player in the draft, and Woj is going to tell us anyway, will you let us know which player you're getting? And they said they can't, because you literally cannot mention the name of another team's player. He would be their player in theory until you complete the trade. So, Alex, you know these awkward moments. We saw it during the draft 3 years ago. Shabazz Napier is drafted by the Heat in 4 years ago in 2014, and he puts on a Charlotte Hornets hat. Then the Heat make a trade. So we're probably saying that Shabazz Napier wore that Hornets hat for maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You literally could have someone who the Heat wind up trading for at the draft wearing the other team's cap for 2 weeks. That's from the 21st until July 6th. We'll all know who he belongs to. He won't even be able to attend the Heat Summer League in Sacramento. That'll be completed by July 6th, and we'll have to join the Heat on the fly for their Summer League in Las Vegas. So it's going to be very twisted. Obviously, it'll get out. The player can say, I know I'm going to the Heat. I'm looking forward to it. The agent could say, I told him don't worry about reporting to Indiana. We know he's going to be traded. But it's going to be a very interesting night because the Heat, the player the Heat pick, you might not know about at the moment. You might not know about it in that hour. And maybe we won't know about it for 2 weeks. The only way you'll know it's not a Heat player is if he signs with his team. Mm. In that case, he can't be traded for at least a month. So then you'll get better insight into that.
I had some thoughts on an interesting conversation that Hawk and Crowder had earlier today about Pat Riley and the way that he handled LeBron's final year, final couple weeks, couple months in Miami. Hawk thinking that Riley should have coddled him a little bit more, should have been a little bit more accommodating to his requests of his entourage and his family, having more run on the organization, should have in that postseason presser, been a little bit more complimentary rather than essentially challenging him to come back and play with the Heat again. Do you think Pat Riley has any regrets for the way that summer went down, the way he handled things anyway?
Well, you know, it's funny because I heard the start of your show, which to me is always must listening, even if I'm at a game. And even what you mentioned, Alex, that it might have been done by then. That
right.
When Pat Riley talked about hidden agendas and emojis and smiling faces, we all might have known, he probably knew then, that he was fighting the uphill battle and he might as well at least retain his dignity. You know, it's like that girlfriend you go back after two or three times, and then you realize
yeah.
It's a lost cause anyway because you see her out on a date with someone else. I think that's how Pat Riley felt. I got to tell you, I think it gets underreported the degree that the Heat did bend.
Hmm.
The amount of access that some of LeBron's people did have. The way the Heat went out of their way to be as accommodating as possible to both LeBron's wife and children, LeBron's mother, extending the family tree, LeBron's people around him, whether it's Maverick Carter, his floor access, Randy Mims, and his locker room access, they did a lot. Of course, everyone always wants more. And it's sort of like that spoiled child. Where do you draw the line? You get your kid a used car. Maybe you get your kid a new car. Are you getting your kid the Lamborghini? Where are you going to draw the line? I think Pat Riley drew the line where he felt, if I go any further, I lose the rest of the team. Remember, at the time, he still had Dwayne Wade. He still had Chris Bosh. He still had other star players. He had the chance for Ray Allen to come back. And so if you turn the entire team over, are you Pat Riley?
Mm.
Are you the Heat culture anymore? Or are you someone who's simply kowtowing like Dan Gilbert did? And I think Dono, you'd agree with this. No matter what happened through this, Pat Riley has always remained a respected NBA presence, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, has Dan Gilbert ever been a respected NBA presence?
No, certainly not since the Comic Sans letter. I didn't really have too many and you're right in this sense, because I never felt, oh, I really respect this Dan Gilbert before the Comic Sans. I never
right.
thought about the guy. Then after the Comic Sans, I feel like the guy's been a laughingstock ever since.
And the things he did and the way he went out of the way, even now we're seeing coaches who are favorable to LeBron getting raises and being moved on the bench, and other guys being moved out, in sort of Cleveland's last gasp way of trying to impress LeBron. Also, they probably will draft for LeBron. They probably will trade for LeBron, not knowing if LeBron is coming back anyway.
Hmm.
I think at a certain point, I respect Pat Riley for keeping, and this is not about Pat Riley's dignity. This is about the dignity of the Miami Heat organization and the Miami Heat culture, that you have to draw the line at a certain point. That there were times the Heat stayed over in a city because they knew LeBron wanted that. They had their Thanksgiving at LeBron's house because LeBron wanted that. And there were other times they said to themselves, we're a business and a professional organization, and we also have a culture to adhere to. So I think in retrospect, number one, more than anything, he knew LeBron was gone by the time that he sort of put out those things anyway.
Right.
And number two, he knew that LeBron was not going to be the last player ever to play for the Miami Heat. And if you sell out that culture to that degree, and if a LeBron can get anything and everything he wants, then what? Then who's next? Then what happens to the next guy who comes in? What happens when you talk to Hayward or Durant or whoever it is this summer? And what if they say, okay, well, LeBron got 5 parking spots. He got his top people in the locker room. He got these 17 spots, courtside for his people. 2 of his guys were allowed to stand in and be stenographers during huddles. Eventually, you reach a point is, well, I want the LeBron treatment. You did that for him. And then when you say no, they go, well, I guess you don't want me as much as you wanted LeBron. Again, you have to take the long view of a culture and a franchise. This is not Cam Cameron setting up his culture. This is not Joe Philbin setting up his culture. This is someone who has a proven track record that when he says he wants to do it this way, you can say, okay, he's also got a bunch of rings.
And this is another summer, Ira, that's going to be full and already has been full of LeBron James drama and speculation. It's only going to ramp up when July 1st comes around. Where do you expect LeBron to take his talents this summer?
I still think Los Angeles sets up best. It's very interesting what's going on here. All of a sudden, everyone's coming out for LeBron and saying he doesn't need another championship. He's done enough. He's not going to be justified or made who he is by how many rings he has, which I think does ring very true even to LeBron. I think he wants to be where he wants to be, live the lifestyle he wants to be, have his family in a place they want to be, avoid having to deal with the weather in Cleveland, and even the hometown pressures that he had. He took care of his hometown. He gave him that championship. I still think LA makes the most sense. I know Woj just come out and said that Chris Paul is not leaving Houston and instead trying to bring LeBron there.
Right.
I don't think LeBron was ever dependent or contingent on Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul last year said, I am wedding myself to James Harden, and it worked out really well except for the injury, and I think LeBron charts his own path. I still think there is a chance for LeBron, Kawhi, and Paul George in L.A., and to me, that lets LeBron reset the clock to 2010. That was the last time he had the big three that he wanted. Even the Kevin Love, Kyrie thing, Kyrie was sort of there. I don't think it was necessarily the big three he wanted, although we did get a championship within two seasons that way anyway. So if LeBron has a chance for a big three, I don't think it's as much which big three as him knowing I am going in with two other dynamic NBA players. When that happened for me my second year in Cleveland, we won a championship. When it happened to me 2 out of 4 years in Miami, we won a championship. The Lakers, to me, more than Embiid and Ben Simmons, who are still growing as players, the Lakers can give him veteran talent right now.
Now, explain to me what has to happen for Kawhi to get to L.A., because I know, obviously, San Antonio does not want to send him to Los Angeles, especially if it means a super team with LeBron and potentially Paul George. But I also know that if Kawhi really wants to put their feet to the fire, he can try and kill their leverage by saying, and he hasn't done it yet, but he can say, I will only sign long-term with L.A., which could scare away some other teams. Do you think that's the direction we could be going in?
Sure, Dono. Let's look at the situations. Boston Celtics certainly have enough to trade for Kawhi Leonard. Okay, they could start with Jaylen Brown and Rozier and oodles of good draft choices, including one from the Sacramento Kings. But what happens if Kawhi says, you know what, you can trade for me, but I'm leaving in 2019, which is also when Kyrie Irving can leave.
Ooh.
So all of a sudden, Danny Ainge's whole thing could blow up, 2 years after he put the whole thing together. That's the Boston scenario. Right now, the Sixers could probably make a very attractive offer of Dario Saric, the number 10 pick, Markelle Fultz, and probably Robert Covington for Kawhi. Kawhi could say, okay, I ain't staying in Philadelphia. I never really wanted to be there. All of a sudden, Philadelphia is then without a first-round pick, without Saric, without whatever Markelle Fultz could turn into. They have nothing. So I think Kawhi can threaten his way away from those two possibilities. So then you get back to the Western Conference. Again, will he accept a deal of Sacramento, maybe to Phoenix? So the point is you have a fiduciary responsibility as the leader of the Spurs to get as much quality back for your player. And don't tell me, well, you're trading him to the West. You're not trading him to the Warriors. That even if Kawhi goes to the Lakers, if you want to win a championship in the short term, you still have to beat the Warriors anyway. So I think if you can get a return back of starting with Brandon Ingram and continuing with Kyle Kuzma, maybe the Lakers' later pick, I think it's 25 in the first round this year, maybe a future pick, maybe even take Lonzo Ball and reroute him somewhere else, I think you'd have to look at that. So if you do a deal like that with the Lakers, you're not touching your cap space. Then you still would have about $60 million left to split between LeBron and Paul George. Probably can create a little more if you need to, and you can make that deal work. All of a sudden, you get Brook Lopez to come back on an exception deal or something like that, or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who has the same agent as LeBron does, and you can make a deal like that work where you could wind up with a lineup, possibly, of Lopez and LeBron and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and yeah, you'd be in good shape.
Now, I'm sure the Heat would at least throw their hat into the race for Kawhi.
Yeah.
Not that they could put together the most attractive package, but what do you think would be the most enticing package of players Pat Riley could offer to San Antonio?
I think the one, and this is not mine, ESPN put this out a month or 2 months ago, even when the speculation started, of Goran Dragic, Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow, and Bam Adebayo. So let's take those four out of the Heat equation.
Right.
What we'd be left with, in my view, and the listeners might differ on who starts and who doesn't, probably would be Hassan Whiteside at power forward, J. Hassan Whiteside at center, rather. James Johnson at power forward. Kawhi Leonard at small forward. Deion Waiters at shooting guard. And for now, Tyler Johnson at point guard. So let me go over that again. Whiteside, James Johnson, Kawhi Leonard, Deion Waiters, Tyler Johnson. Donald, where does that get you in the East?
Third, fourth place.
Okay. I'm just saying. So as much as, oh, they should trade for Kawhi, that's all well and good. But I think a lot of these Heat fans are, and then they're going to trade Whiteside and his salary for player X, Y, or Z. So I would say this. If you make that Kawhi trade, I think even Kawhi would say to you, okay, what are you doing next? You're on the clock. Same thing as you would tell the other teams. I could opt out or I could become a free agent in 2019. So the question becomes then, do you risk all of that if you're the Heat and give it all up? And you know what? Maybe you do. Because maybe you say to yourself, we weren't going to re-sign Goran when he could opt out in a year anyway. We're going to have a tough decision whether to give an extension due, I believe, by around October 31st this year for Justice Winslow. We'd face a rookie-scale decision with Bam Adebayo in a couple of years. So maybe the only long-term piece you're giving up there anyway is Josh Richardson. So maybe that would be the kind of deal where even if Kawhi says no, and let's face it, it's less than we're talking about with the Sixers or the Celtics, maybe you do pull the trigger if you're Pat Riley and then tell your entire personnel staff and Andy Ellisberg and Nick Harrison, okay, we've got to go find another player. We're on the clock between now and the end of the season. We've got to get a solid number two or number one around him. Go.
Last thing here, I'm dying to know, how much World Cup does Ira Winderman watch? Because I know that you are a versatile fan of many sports.
I'm not watching any,
really?
Dono, because I am still so upset about the whole U.S. situation.
Wow.
That I just don't. I used to look at brackets and okay, and best third place points and differential and how can they get to the second round. And I know there have been fantastic games going on and the Messi missed and some of these great upsets by teams. And of course, you and I and our favorite Iceland team and our favorite announcer that I'm sure you're playing all of his calls. Do you remember the name?
Gumi Ben is the name of the Icelandic
announcer.
All right,
there. So I get all that. I will watch the later rounds, but I just can't tell you just how upset I am amid the news that the World Cup is coming in part to the U.S. in 8 years, that it's going to be our tournament. It just feels so empty. I haven't picked sort of my other team. You know,
gotcha.
I probably would be Mexico and what the Tri have done just because we've seen some of their games down here.
And they've got Ira, the biggest win of the Cup so far. Beating Germany was massive.
Right. And I'm just saying, and I know what it means to that country, and I know that in CONCACAF with the U.S. playing them so much and them going through 39 different coaches on the way to qualifying for this, you know, what it means to them. But I'm still stung by that. I still can't fathom when I watch and see some of these countries that come up, and I understand from different groups in Tunisia and other places, certain teams have to make it. But when I see what's there for CONCACAF and what's going on, it's still, I'll get over it, Dono. It's going to take me at least another week or so. Believe me, by the time we get to the quarters of the semis and at a pool play, I'll be over it. But for now, I just find it very challenging that this country could be where they are right now when it comes to the world soccer stage.
You want to follow this man on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat and check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira Winderman, thank you so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.